Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you on this Wednesday, October 16th, as we read God's Word together. We're in 2 Samuel chapter 7. We're working through prayers of the Bible, and today this is David's response to God's promises. And in this, God also speaks to David. I want to give you kind of the flow of the chapter, and then we'll read it together from the Message paraphrase. First, David, he shares his desire to build the temple. He says, I'm living in this big house of cedar, and yet the Ark of the Covenant is in a tent. So he makes this known that he wants to build a temple for the Lord. And then God responds through the prophet Nathan, and he tells David that he's not going to be the one to build the temple. Instead, God is going to build a, quote, house or a dynasty for David. Then we have what is called the Davidic covenant, and this is where God promises that David's descendants will rule all of Israel together. And one of David's descendants will build the temple. That's going to be Solomon. And then God is going to establish David's throne forever. Now, this is a prophecy about the Messiah, that the Messiah would come through David's lineage. And we know that to be true about our Lord Jesus. Finally, we see the prayer, David's prayer of gratitude. He prays humbly with gratitude for God's greatness and the favor that he has shown him. And we can also pray those same prayers of gratitude for what the Lord has done for us. 2 Samuel chapter 7 in the Message. Before long, the king made himself at home, and God gave him peace from all his enemies. Then one day, King David said to Nathan the prophet, "Look at this. Here I am, comfortable in a luxurious house of cedar, and the chest of God sits in a plain tent." Nathan told the king, "Whatever is on your heart, go and do it. God is with you." But that night, the word of God came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is God's word on the matter. You're going to build a house for me to live in. Why, I haven't lived in a house from the time I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt till now. All that time, I've moved about with nothing but a tent. And in all my travels with Israel, did I ever say to any of the leaders I commanded to shepherd Israel, 'Why haven't you built me a house of cedar?' So here is what you are to tell my servant David. The God of the angel armies has this word for you. I took you from the pasture, tagging along after sheep, and made you prince over my people Israel. I was with you everywhere you went and mowed your enemies down before you. Now I'm making you famous to be ranked with the great names on earth. And I'm going to set aside a place for my people Israel and plant them there so they'll have their own home and not be knocked around anymore. Nor will evil men afflict you as they have always done, even during the days I set judges over my people Israel. Finally, I'm going to give you peace from all your enemies. Furthermore, God had this message for you. God himself will build you a house. When your life is complete and you're buried with your ancestors, then I'll raise up your child, your own flesh and blood, to succeed you, and I'll firmly establish his rule. He will build a house to honor me, and I will guarantee his kingdom's rule permanently. I'll be a father to him, and he'll be a son to me. When he does wrong, I'll discipline him in the usual ways, the pitfalls and obstacles of this mortal life. But I'll never remove my gracious love from him, as I removed it from Saul, who preceded you and whom I most certainly did remove. Your family and your kingdom are permanently secured. I'm keeping my eye on them, and your royal throne will always be there, rock solid." Nathan gave David a complete and accurate account of everything he heard and saw in the vision. King David went in, took his place before God, and prayed, "Who am I, my master God, and what is my family, that you have brought me to this place in life? But that's nothing compared to what's coming, for you've also spoken of my family far into the future, given me a glimpse into tomorrow, my master God. What can I possibly say in the face of all this? You know me, Master God, just as I am. You've done all this not because of who I am, but because of who you are, out of your very heart. But you've let me in on it. This is what makes you so great, Master God. There is none like you, no God but you, nothing to compare with what we've heard with our own ears. And who is like your people? Like Israel, a nation unique in the earth, whom God set out to redeem for himself and become most famous for it, performing great and fearsome acts, throwing out nations and their gods left and right, as you saved your people from Egypt. You established for yourself a people, your very own Israel, your people permanently. And you, God, became their God. So now, great God, this word that you have spoken to me and my family, guarantee it permanently. Do exactly what you've promised. Then your reputation will flourish always as people exclaim, 'The God of the angel armies is God over Israel.' And the house of your servant David will remain sure and solid in your watchful presence. For you, God of the angel armies, Israel's God, told me plainly, 'I will build you a house.' That's how I was able to find the courage to pray this prayer to you. And now, Master God, being the God you are, speaking sure words as you do, and having just said this wonderful thing to me, please, just one more thing. Bless my family. Keep your eye on them always. You've already as much as said that you would, Master God. Oh, may your blessing be on my family permanently." Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. Here I see David responding excitedly and boldly, having the courage to pray what he believes God is going to do for his family, because the prophet Nathan has spoken it. But what stuck out to me was the very end of the prayer, where he prays over his family that God would bless them and keep his eye on them, and that they then would be a blessing to the nations. And so as we end the podcast today, I want us just to take time to pray over the members of our family, reminding God that we want to serve him in our family. Would you pray with me? Father, as always, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are God of the angel armies. We fix our attention on you. We want to fear and reverence you and not fear and reverence things in this world that do not matter or do not have power. We are totally dependent upon you. And we, like David, want to honor you with our lives. And so we ask, Lord, your blessing on our family. Please keep your eye on them always. We stop right now to call out the names of mom and dad, siblings, children, aunts and uncles, cousins, in-laws. We lift them up to you, Lord, and we ask your watch care on those who are with us. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessing of those who have gone before us. And we pray for future generations, Lord, as David did. We pray for your word to go forward, yes, in our physical, biological families, but even more so in our church family. And we pray this In the strong name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.